Okay, it's Coral and I'm back. And I have Amanda in the studio with me. Dum dum. Hi.
Hello.
How are you?
Is this the microphone that I use?
I have all, you know what? I have all three microphones up so that we get nice sound.
Nice big sound. Well, that's good.
A nice big sound. I always do that. I don't know why. It just makes me feel better as a producer. Isn't that weird?
No, you're like me. You like to have backups.
I do like to have backups. So, you know what? I was telling people that, like, you are everything. You are a actor and a very good one at that. I do remember us being in a show together.
Yes, that was far back in the day.
That was far back.
I was still in university at that time.
Yeah. And you were awesome. And you're a great singer. You have your own CD out.
Yeah, that's been a totally different journey from last year. I feel like every year I go on a different journey.
And you are the instigator of KW Glee, sort of?
I am sort of the head vocal coach there.
Yep.
So that's a big part of my life, too.
Yep, because I'm a Gleek. I'm a total Gleek. And now you're starting another journey as a director.
That's right. This is the first time I've sort of taken the helm of a full-scale musical. And it's been a big job, but I am glad that it was this musical, just because there's so much singing in it, and singing is my strength.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in that I feel at home in the music, and so the acting parts came more easily because there's so much musicality behind them.
Yeah, exactly. Why Rent? Was this your?
It's not my choice. Every year, KWMP does two productions, one in the fall and one in the spring, and those are chosen by the board of directors.
Right.
And then people apply to direct the shows, and so I had to go through that process and pitch, you know, my vision and all that kind of stuff. And I think I'm lucky that the people who are sitting on that board know me a little bit and understand my work and felt that it was time to hand me a show and say, okay, see what you can do.
Well, you would be a really good director simply because you're an actor and a singer, so you know all the, like, you've been in the shoes of everybody else on stage, basically.
Yeah, and I'm really, because I do marketing during the day,
yeah, that's true.
I really care about what the audience thinks. Mm-hmm. And so I think a lot of my approach to the show has been A, to keep it true to what people expect, but also to try and keep it moving because I know how difficult it is to be in the audience and
They're
be
fishy.
Sitting through a long act. And Rent is kind of a long show because it's sung all the way through. It's basically a rock opera.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been definitely an interesting experience directing 22 people, especially since I haven't done that. And I'm used to doing Glee, which is kids.
Right.
And these are adults with their own opinions and their own experiences, and many of them who have done hundreds of shows. So they've had to have patience with me while I figured it out.
How does Rent, I mean, I think Rent continues to resonate with today's audience. How does it resonate for you?
I think the element of the precariousness of life has resonated with me. My mom just beat cancer, and so I was actually going through that journey while directing the show, her chemo treatments and all that kind of stuff. And although it's not HIV, it is this strange feeling that something inside your body is attacking you, you have no control over it. You have to trust sort of the universe to take care of you and the doctors. And so while I was directing the show, those elements really came into play. And so I felt for that. I also lived in New York for 2 years. So I really know New York City well.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
For 1999 and 2000, I lived there. So the areas that we're talking about, I can really visualize.
Yeah, and it's, you know, when you're first starting out in anything, it's kind of tough. But, you know, in the arts, like, I mean, it's kind of neat. They're all creative, but they're all going through other stuff at the same time. So I think everybody can identify with it in one way or the other.
Absolutely. It's about appreciating every day and trying not to get too hung up on the negative, which we all do. And I mm-hmm. think I get reminded of that all the time because, of course, things don't go in live theater exactly how you want them to all the time. And so trying not to get hung up on the small stuff and trying to be happy about the big picture is a huge, huge theme and a huge sort of way of living. And I'm trying to do that in my life in general.
Yeah, well, that's a good, that's actually a good way to, you know, live your life, I think. And these kids, you know, they're all, everybody's got something different going on in their life. And there's young kids sitting in the audience or a younger audience. They're going, well, if they can do this, I can do this. Or they might be looking at you, like some of your students going, wow, if a man, like, this is what a man is doing now. I bet you're a mentor to a lot of people as well. That's the other thing.
You know what? I looked up to my voice teacher very much when I was a teenager. And I think I am conscious of that to some extent. And then to some extent, I try to say, I have to do what's right for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, public perception be damned. I tend to be a tough personality. And so that's something I try to curb a little bit and work around. I mean, when you have high standards that you end up, you know, expecting a lot from people, and sometimes you have to give yourself a reality check and ask what battles are worth fighting. And those are sort of things we're going through right now because we're in our final tech rehearsal tonight Rent.
Oh, QQ? Oh,
yeah, woo. And we're very lucky because the cast can sing incredibly well. They could all do it professionally. So that's a real bonus for me. I think I would be really suffering if I was trying to teach vocals at the same time as staging people.
And blocking,
but I'm lucky
and everything
to have
else.
People who just, you know, are able to give the music the sound that it deserves.
Well, we're going to take a musical break and we're going to play, I hope this is track 4.
Yeah, it should be Rent.
It better be
the
Rent.
Title song.
Should be Rent, the title song. We'll be back with Amanda Kind on Coral FM.
How do you document real life when real life's getting more like fiction? Headlines, breadlines blow my mind, and now this deadline, eviction or pay.
Rent!
How do you write a song when the chords sound wrong, though they once sounded right and rare? But the notes are sour, where is the power you once had to ignite? They're turning blue. Light up a mean blaze
with posters
and screenplays. How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay last year's rent?
Don't scream, Maureen. It's me, Joanne, your substitute production manager. Hey, hey, hey. Did you eat? Don't change the subject, Maureen. But darling, you haven't eaten all day. You won't throw up. Up. The digital delay didn't blow up exactly. There may have been one teeny tiny spark. You're not calling Mark.
How do you stay on your feet when on every street it's trick or treat? And tonight it's trick. Welcome back to town. Oh, I should lie down. Everything's brown and oh, I feel sick.
Where is he?
Getting dizzy.
How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay? How we gonna pay last year's rent?
Allison, baby, you sound sad. I don't believe those two after everything I've done. Ever since our wedding, I'm dirt. They'll see I can help them all out in the long run.
The music ignites tonight with passionate fire.
The narration crackles and pops with incendiary wit.
I can't think.
Zoom in as they burn the past to the ground. And feel the heat of the future glow.
Hello, Maureen? Your equipment won't work? Okay, all right, I'll go.
How do you leave the past behind when it keeps finding ways to get to your home?
Rent. That's the title track from Rent the Musical. And I have Amanda Kine as my special guest. She's directing Rent. So you, if you're doing a Q2Q, that means you're in the Registry Theater space as we speak.
Yes, there are people in there right now fiddling with lights and seeing what we can do to bring New York City to life in there.
Wow. So can you, that's 22 people on that stage.
Yes. It's going to be very full.
It is going to be very full.
And we're really lucky. We have a cast that's solid across the board. I mean, when the auditions came around earlier this spring, they happened, I think, in early February. I was really nervous about all of the male roles in the show because they're so high. It's like the score was written for Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And so we lucked out big time. The guys playing Roger and Mark, not only are they killer singers, but they're also really good actors. Graham Dennick is playing Roger, and he's got just the right look for it and the really big high notes. I think people will get exactly what they want from him, which is that, you know, sullen rock star look that we, you know, all lusted after in terms of, you know, Kurt Cobain from Nirvana in the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
And really, really fortunate. Cambridge actor named Eric DaCosta is playing Mark Cohen, which is sort of the quintessential narrator, like really, you know, important central role in the show. And brilliant actor, exceptional singer as well. But what he brings to the table in terms of acting chops really makes the role. And I think when people see the show, they're just going to love him. He's so lovable in the role. And when he does Tango Maureen with Sarah Scott, who's playing Joanne, you know, he shows off that he's also a great dancer. So just triple threat, great guy. And I think people will be really astounded by his talents.
There's like 22. There's a website people can go to, and they can click on all the cast members.
That's right. So you can see everybody's face. If you go to kwmp.ca and you click on the Rent poster that's on the page, it'll take you to a flash website that shows you everybody who's behind the scenes and everybody who's on stage.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of nice. I think people like to know who they're seeing.
Yeah.
I mean, some people have talked to me about Joanna Gostini, who was just on stage at St. Jacob's playing Dorley in 9 to 5, the musical for Drayton. She's playing Mimi for us. And wow, she's got a killer set of lungs, and she sings Out Tonight, which is one of the big belty female songs in the show. And she can seriously pull it off. And we're lucky in that all the ensemble are also great singers. So all the harmony that you just heard in that track,
right,
it's all real and right there. And we've got a great band. So I can't say enough good things about the music happening in the show.
Where did all the actors come from? Like all around the area? Like,
we held an open call in February, and we got about 80-something people, and
right,
I ended up picking about a quarter of that. So they are from, as far as, you know, Guelph, Cambridge,
yep,
Kitchener, Waterloo. So there's a good sort of melting pot mix of people. A lot of new faces to KWMP. These community theater companies tend to have the same faces over and over again, but
true,
this show is not like that. There's a lot of new faces, a lot of younger, you know, mid-20s with a lot of experience in terms of singing. And I think they bring a different energy to the stage because they really love the musical in a totally different way. I mean, people who love Rent are called Rent heads.
Yeah,
and
true.
I think we have a few Rent heads in the cast, which certainly helps with feeling passionate about the show.
Yeah, exactly. What was I going to say? With set design.
Set design. Difficult set design because of how small the space is.
Right.
For those who don't know, Rent was filmed on Broadway in 2008, and it's almost all on YouTube. So when I went to do some research and look at it, the stage they had was huge. So their set design was just not possible for us. So John Bigelow, who is a set designer and carpenter in town, he designed and built most of the set. And there's a stair unit and a door on one side, and there's scaffolding on the other side. And we actually have the band underneath the scaffolding so that they're muffled a little bit, but they're on stage with the cast. So that's why the show is like, feels like a real rock show, because the band, the drums, the guitar, they're all right there in your face. And so the cast is up above on the scaffolding and down below, and we've got the two tables that everybody expects for, you know, songs like La Vie Boheme. But
yeah,
tricky space to be in for a large musical.
Yeah.
But a nice space. I really love the registry. It's got that urban feel to it, and it's just right for this show.
It's great, too. It has a very full sound to it.
Oh, very full sound. And we've got a great sound designer. I'm really, really fussy, as you can imagine, about
Who's
things.
Your sound designer? I know you're a lighting guy.
It's Sam Hillifer. He owns a recording studio in town, and he really knows his way around a microphone. And he's also really patient, which is great because I'm high maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
So having someone who just listens to you while you rattle off things is just wonderful. And he's doing a good job balancing all the voices. And so I hope that people will come in and say, wow, that show sounded great.
I'm sure they will. Are you going to mic the cast? No.
Yes, we are miking the cast. Because the band's on stage.
Yeah.
It would be deafening without that. And Rent, I think people expect to see those microphones on the side of the face.
They kind
of
do.
Yeah. So, yeah, we do have the full gear in.
Cool. We're going to play another track. Which track is it? What track is it?
It's called One Song Glory. It's the song sung by Roger. I think is it number 7 on there?
Number 7.
So this is a song that Graham Dunnick would sing in the show, and really killer high tenor Bon Jovi style song. And he knocks it out of the park. And we're going to listen to Adam Pascal do it from the soundtrack.
Okay. Amanda Kine on Coral FM, and here is another signature tune from Rent.
One song, glory, one song. Before I go, glory, one song to leave behind. Find one song, one last refrain, glory, from the pretty boy frontman who wasted opportunity. One song, he had the world at his feet, glory, in the eyes of a young girl, a young girl. Find glory beyond the cheap colored lights. One song before the sun sets. Glory on another empty life. Time flies. Time song that rings true, truth like a blazing fire, an eternal flame. Find one song, a song about love, glory from the soul of a young man, a young man. Find the one song before the virus takes hold, glory like a sunset. One song to redeem this empty life. Time flies, and then no need to endure anymore. Time dies. The door.
The door. And that was from Rent, and that was One Song Glory. And I have my special guest, Amanda Kine, here in the studio, who's directing Rent.
Hello.
Hello. At the Registry Theater for KWMP. This is just, you know, so cool. And let me think here. We talked about why the show resonates. What would you like the audience to know if they're going to see Rent for the first time?
Wow, that's a great question. Because Rent has this huge following around the globe and it's touted as one of the biggest rock musicals, I think people don't tend to do the research about what the story is about before they come in. And I think, you do need to do the research on this show because there are so many sensitive topics in there.
There is a lot, actually.
This is a show about gay and lesbian relationships. It's a show about transvestites. It's a show about HIV and AIDS and the epidemic that happened in the 90s when nobody knew what that disease was and nobody knew how to treat it. And people were dying of it, especially in the United States.
Yep.
So, and I know that sounds horribly depressing, but there actually is a wonderful, uplifting arc to the story. It's more about how these people rise above all the stuff that's in their life and have a good time anyway. It's a lot about being an artist.
Oh, yeah.
So a Definitely. Lot of people who, musicians and painters and, you know, anybody who's got an artistic sensibility is going to appreciate the show just because there's so much poverty associated with being an artist. So the story's about Mark, who's a filmmaker, and Roger, who's a musician, living in a loft together. It's an abandoned warehouse. And one of their old roommates, Benny, has bought the building because he married into a wealthy family, and he promises them that they won't have to pay rent when he owns the building.
Yeah, exactly.
But he reneges on that promise. And so it's sort of about their journey on, you know, with another friend of theirs who's a college professor, and this drummer that he meets on the street. So there's all these characters in there, and some of them are HIV positive and some of them aren't. And I think one of the big things in the show is that Mark is not, and a lot of his close friends are, and he ends up being the narrator for the show. And so there's much of the show where he's videotaping, and we have some video footage. We're very lucky in that Michael Mercy, who owns Scorpio Dragon Pictures and has had a couple of films in local film festivals, is doing all the visual elements for the show. So he was very gracious in coming in and doing things at a very reduced rate. And he's built some nice images just to accentuate the feeling of where we are. So we've got, you know, images on the screen that broaden the set a little bit.
Right, yep. And I think the multimedia is always really interesting on stage. It's funny because I had John Tang as a guest here in the studio last week. And guess where he lives?
Where?
In the East Village in New York.
Of course.
So, you know, and it's a really interesting place. Like, people go to New York, and everybody goes to New York with a dream.
That's what I did.
at one point I thought about it. When I went down there, I kind of like, it kind of grabs you. It's like, wow, the energy down there, you can feel the energy in the air.
Yeah, it pulsates. It really is the city that doesn't sleep. They say that about Las Vegas, but New York is the same way. And there is a buzz in the air when you get up because there's so much activity and so much creation happening there.
Yeah, that's right. You can feel
it's
the
addictive.
Energy.
If you're an artist, it's an addictive environment because you just feel inspired walking around there.
Yeah, it's very cool. But I thought, I should mention that because it's modern day East Village, and that's where John is. Oh man. What else did I want to ask you? I am trying to think here. Do you have a favorite song from the show? Because there's so many of them.
There are so many. My favorite song is Halloween, which is not really relatively well known. It's like a monologue song sung by Mark later. It's a song about recognizing that the things around you are all changing and you're not sure whether you like the change or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I think most people, when they think about Rent, they think about Seasons of Love, which I also
love. That's true, too.
It's a huge song. It actually got radio airplay as a pop tune at the time.
It did, yeah.
So I think that's how Rent reinvented the wheel, because Broadway musicals were not popular before Rent. It was in the early 90s
that
we started
true.
To get
they were,
that
they
renaissance
were,
yep. of musicals, and then we got Chicago became a film, and all of a sudden singing and American Idol and all those things became popular, and now singing is one of the coolest things you can do. When I was in high school, you didn't really talk about it that much.
Being in a glee club is a cool thing to do now. Choral singing is a great thing to do now. It's like you're cool if you're a singer. You're cool if you're singing, like, you know, hit songs, Broadway songs, it doesn't matter. I think, you know, shows like Glee and like Smash, mm-hmm. all these shows have really sort of hyped that up. And then you've got, you got American Idol, you got The Voice, and those are all in there. Like, they're everybody.
Everybody's trying to make it instantly.
Everybody's trying to make it instantly, you know, in this business. It's crazy. You also have an opera background. You can sing opera. So
yeah,
where...
I did go to opera school. And it was a funny thing because I was a punk rocker in high school and I didn't really know that I had that in me until, I mean, when I was going to university, people didn't tell you about schools like Sheridan where you could study musical theater or
right.
Berkeley where you can study pop music. When you went to
yeah.
school for music, you went to school for classical music.
Right.
And so I ended up being thrown into a classical music program and I sort of fell into the deep end because I was so far behind other people. I couldn't read music very well. I just had a good ear and I had a good voice. And so I ended up being really lucky. In my very first year of university, I got hired to sing an opera in Europe in the summer.
Right, yeah.
And I did a lot of opera work for a while there, and I still really love it. I think this type of singing, Rent, more poppy thing, is more my thing, but I still love it, and I still covet the high notes. I think whenever I hear Leonard Bernstein's Glitter and Be Gay, I just get like, I just want to sing it all the time when I hear it.
There's an opera. There's an opera subtext in Rent.
There is. It's
La
a Puccini.
Bohème.
It's
Puccini.
A Puccini,
yep.
Yes. So La Bohème is in there, and La Bohème is one of my favorite operas.
Yeah.
And in La Bohème, it's not HIV, it's tuberculosis,
yeah.
I think. That.
Yeah.
But many of the characters
yep.
are named after that. So Mimi in La Bohème is same character name. And Chouinard in Bohème is Angel, who's Angel Dumont Chouinard in Rent. So there are definitely huge parallels there. There's a couple changes to the story to make it modern and a couple different
right.
characters.
Yeah, there's a few twists, yep.
But
yep.
it's definitely, it's so similar that they actually do credit the opera in the credits. And there is a theme from the opera that gets played throughout Rent, Musetta's Waltz, which Roger ends up playing on his guitar over and over again as he's trying to figure out what song he's going to write. And so those of the people out there who recognize La Bohème, they will definitely recognize Musetta's Waltz in the Rent score.
Yeah, no kidding. Speaking of Rent, we're going to play this signature song that everybody knows. And here it is, Seasons of Love on Coral FM with my special guest, Amanda Kind. Okay, that was a short one. We're going to play the other one later. We're going to play the other one too at the end of the interview, I think. But that is the song, Seasons of Love. And how many minutes is it, Amanda? How many minutes is it?
525,600 minutes. Is that what we're talking
yeah,
about?
Yeah, that's right. Yep, that make up a year.
That's
and
right.
What a difference a year makes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's talk about the musical director, because you were telling me that he has jazz roots in town.
He does have jazz roots. His name is Jason White. He,
oh, yeah, Jason, right.
Yeah, so
yeah.
those who
yeah.
know him,
yeah.
he's not only a great jazz player, but he plays with Kidabew Symphony every once
yeah.
in a while. He's,
yep.
he's just overall an exceptional piano player. He's got the right sensibilities for musically directing this show. He's a stickler for accuracy, and there's like 360 pages of music in the show. So having someone who takes a look at that and doesn't say, oh my goodness, that's just overwhelming, I need to walk away, is great. He's such a good player, and it's such a complicated score in many ways because you have to think about it in layers. You know, there's the drums
yep.
and the guitar and the bass, plus there's a guitar being played on stage by Roger, so there's that element in there, plus you're conducting while you're playing with your head. So
yeah.
he's a really capable guy, also a really nice guy. he's done a lot of stuff around town. He's got like 70 private students. He's on several boards of directors. He's the artistic curator for the KW Arts Awards. So a really, really accomplished guy who's, you know, not yet 30, I don't think. And yeah.
Maybe that's where. Yeah, I have seen him before, and I think I've seen him perform. Mm-hmm. Who's in the band?
He's got the guys worked out. I don't think I have their names handy, but they're all young guys coming up in the ranks, you know, and they're doing a great job. I mean, Jason's runs an improvisation group called Digital Prowess, so he really knows how to, you know, make things work in case things aren't going on the page the way that they should. And I feel really lucky to have him in the mix. It's the first time he's musically directed for KWMP, and it's the first time I've directed. So it's like a little team coming together, and we've sort of put our heads together to figure out how we're going to do this, considering that it's not the same people.
How long have you been working on this?
We did auditions in February.
Yeah.
Then we started late February. So we've done 10 weeks of rehearsal.
Okay, so that's good.
But only 10 hours a week, so 100 hours. So if you think about that, most professional shows rehearse for 2.5 weeks. It's about the same. Plus you're getting all these breaks in between. So it's a relatively short rehearsal period for community theater. I think it was enough for us, to be honest, because of the people involved. Everybody was quite capable, so we barreled ahead quite quickly. But this week we've been doing every evening until close to midnight or later. And so I'm sure tonight will be another burning the midnight oil session. And then our shows are, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday this week at 8 o'clock. And then next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 o'clock. And we have a 2 o'clock on the Saturday of that second week.
Okay, matinee. Okay, good. I was going to ask you about that.
We're selling amazingly well.
What's the ticket prices? What
tickets
are
$29.
Okay. Yeah.
So they're available through the Center in the Square box office. So that's center-square.com. Yeah. So, and if people go to kwmp.ca, they'll see all the ticket information. It's a small theater. It only holds 150 seats. So
that's right.
So it ends up being filling up really quickly. And with a show like this, you know, I think people know what to expect. So it's a bit of an easier sell.
Yeah, very. What was I going to say? How old is KWMP?
How old is KWMP? Wow.
Yeah.
It's over 60 years old. They've been around a long time. 1948, I think, was the first show.
Right.
And every year they seem to grow a bit more. I mean, my first involvement with them was, you know, in the early 2000s in Seussical, and then I was Miss Hannigan and Annie in 2008.
Oh, my God.
But mostly
Miss
it's
Hannigan.
Been... Yeah. Mostly it's been behind the scenes, really. They're really good at producing community theater that's pretty much close to professional.
Yeah, that's true.
Most people in lead roles, you know, have tons of experience, and many of them go on to then do professional theater. Alex Moustakas, who is the artistic director at Drayton, was a member of KWMP as a kid.
Yeah.
So there's lots of people who come up through the ranks and then take the stage somewhere else. Their fall show is going to be a huge hit. It's Hairspray.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
the auditions for that are actually already posted, and people are coming out in droves. So that's June 15th to the 18th, and all that information is also on KWMP. So two big pop rock shows this year, which I think is great because you're getting that young demographic involved, and we have a ton of talent in the 15 to 30 age bracket. So putting those people on stage is great because you're building the performers of tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. Do you have people from Glee in the show, from KW Glee?
I do. I have four of them in the show. There were lots who tried out. I tried to keep the cast age fairly high because of the content in the show.
Yeah.
So it's older members of the Glee group who have a little bit more life experience. You have to have some life experience to do this show.
I think so. You got to be kind of streets. You have to have some street smarts to be able to do this show because there's a lot of adult themes in it.
Absolutely. And I want to do them justice. And so in order to do that, you need people who have had a few knocks.
Yeah.
In life.
Yeah.
You can't really this kind of pain unless you felt something like it.
You can't play some of these roles unless you have the experience behind you. And even when I don't know about you, but if you played one role and you play another role years later, it changes because of your life experience in between. As the role evolves or as you evolve, the role will evolve too.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've been very lucky. Among the eight leads, the experience level has been quite different. The person with probably the least experience was the guy we chose to play Angel, who's the drag queen.
Yeah.
And he...
which is an interesting role in itself.
Oh, he's gone on an amazing journey. I mean, he's only really done one or two musicals in the past, but he's a really great singer.
Mm.
So asking a guy who really has no experience to get into heels and to wear makeup and a wig, we brought in... a pretty famous drag queen from Toronto, Kevin Nixon,
mm-hmm.
to work with him and to sort of build that character. And I think, you know, he continues to grow every day in the role. And I'm really proud of him because I think it's been difficult to do that even in his personal life. And he's Angel, really owned it.
Angel has a kind of arrogance about him too. So
he has like this confidence and this quiet wisdom about him. And that's something that's hard to put your finger on as an actor.
Yeah.
To be this kind, sort of all-encompassing. It doesn't matter that he has HIV. He's kind and accepting to everybody. And the wisdom in that, that's the thing that's hard to show as an actor. And he's getting better at that every night.
Is there a musical that you would either like to... Is there a musical you'd like to be in? Or what's your favorite musical? I'm just...
Oh, there are so, so many. I mean...
I'm doing a Barbara Wawa thing here.
Yeah, you are. Into the Woods is a big one for me.
Yeah.
Which is a Sondheim musical.
Yeah.
I really love the music and the story in that. Annie was a dream role for me. Like, being Miss Hannigan was a big... When I was growing up watching Annie, which came out in 1982, I remember watching the show and I didn't want to be Annie. I wanted to be Carol Burnett. So being able to do that in 2008 was great. Yeah, so many shows I would love to be in.
What's the first musical you ever saw that you kind of went, oh my God, or... How'd you get onto stage? Like, what
Good
made you...
Good question. Like, the first show I saw was Cats. My mom took me when I was about 5.
Yeah.
And then by some complete fluke, I was in grade 3, and there was an open call for The Grinch Who Stole Christmas in Vancouver, because that's where I went, or where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
And I ended up landing the role of Cindy Lou Who. And I did it for a couple of weeks, so it was like a... semi-professional gig, and so I got a little bit of money out of it, and so it was kind of an addictive attention-seeking thing, you know. So I was really petite for my age, so I was able to pull off the tiny Whoville sort of thing, and I still remember how exciting it was every night to do my one scene in the show. And I ended up doing more band things in high school, like singing with a punk band, and then we did a few shows in school, and then when I figured out that opera wasn't for me, that's kind of when I took the turn toward more musicals. I'd done musicals in high school, but not at the level that we're doing them at KWMP.
Right, right. What did you do in high school? What musicals did you do?
Whew. I did Bye Bye Birdie and Anne of Green Gables.
Oh, who'd you play?
I was Diana.
Oh!
I did the Mikado with a community theater group. We did a lot of Shakespeare in high school. So I did Hamlet and...
Oh, who were you in Hamlet?
I was Ophelia.
Oh,
and
wow.
Midsummer Night's Dream and a couple... Like, I really got a good Shakespeare grounding.
Right.
So I was really into classical acting at the time, too. I was lucky. I didn't go to an arts high school, but I went to a high school with an ex-professional actor as a drama teacher. So the program was exceptional. And I don't think we knew what we had because we did 2 shows every year.
Wow.
Something in the fall and in the spring. Well, so very lucky.
I think Shakespeare is just kind of funny. People go, Shakespeare, they're timeless. Like they can be timeless. They have these universal themes in them. So people go, oh, Shakespeare. I go, you know what? It doesn't matter if it was written so many years ago. It still resonates today because it has such universal themes in it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, and if it's done well, all the comedy still translates.
I think so. I think so. Other people may not think so, but I definitely think it does. And these type of shows, like I think Rent will always resonate because it's the bottom line. It's like trying to survive. you're trying to survive. You're, and so many people these days, it doesn't matter what age you are, making ends meet, it's all about that.
Oh, absolutely. Right? With the economic state of affairs in Canada right now, I think a lot of people can relate to pinching pennies. I mean, we all do it.
Yeah. In New York, it ain't, you know, it ain't cheap to live down there.
Oh, when I lived there 10 years ago, rent was about $850. And that was in a studio apartment.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty expensive to live in New York.
Well, I know you have to. What time do you have to go? Do you have to go yet?
Or I probably have to jet out of here to get to the theater on time for our start of the dress rehearsal. But at I do want to thank you for having me on for so long.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I'm happy for your success and all the different things you've done in the last year, because I also mentioned that you have a CD. We didn't even get to that. Hello, Heartache, and it sounds like Torch Song. So you'll have to, when you have some time, come on back and we'll do a kind of a, you can just co-host a show with me and we'll do our favorite music.
Oh, wow. I would love that.
Bring your CD and all that kind of stuff. I just want to wish you the best with Rent. I'm going to make this into a podcast and I'm going to go to the website. And Amanda and I have a trivia question that I'm going to put on the Sound FM website. And if you answer it, you get 2 free tickets for next Wednesday's performance of Rent at the Registry Theater. So I will do this tonight. I will make this into a podcast and we will do that. And in the meantime, I'm going to play the signature song. Hopefully this is it. It better be the main song that everybody knows, but there are a lot of great songs in Rent. It's like tons of really great. It's lovely music. It's a great plot. It's uplifting, it's heartbreaking, it's hilarious, it's all those things that you want good entertainment, a good evening of entertainment to be. So I'd like to thank you so much, Amanda, because I know you're a busy girl, and I'm sure Rent's going to be a major success. Here is the signature song from Rent on Coral FM.
Miles in laughter and strife, 500, 25,000.
This is Coral FM on Sound FM.
How long till next year?
3.5 minutes.
I'm giving up my vices. I'm going back to school. Eviction or not, this week's been so hot. The long as I've got you, I know I'll be cool. I couldn't crack the love code, dear, till you made the lock of my heart explode. It's gonna be a happy new year.
Is clear. You're supposed to be working. That's for midnight. Where are they? There isn't much time.
Maybe they're dressing. I mean, what does one wear that's apropos for a party that's also a crime? Chips, anyone?
You could take the girl out of Hicksville, but you can't take the Hicksville out of the girl.
My riot got you on TV. I deserve a royalty. Be nice, you two, or no, got off for champagne. Don't mind if I do.
Bolted plywood padlock with a chain, a total dead end.
Just like my ex-girlfriend. Honey, I know you're there. Please pick up the phone. Are you okay? It's not funny. It's not fair. How can I atone? Are you okay? I lose control, but I can learn to behave. Give me one more chance. Let me be your slave. I'll kiss your Doc Martens. Let me kiss your Doc Martens. Your every wish I will obey.
That might be okay. Down, girl. He'll stay.
I did a bit of research with my friends at Legal Aid. Technically, you're squatters. There's hope. But just in case.
Rope! We can hoist the line.
To the fire escape.
And tie off that bench.
I can't take them as chums.
Start hoisting, wench.
I think I should be laughing. Yet I forget how to begin. I'm feeling something inside, and yet I still can't decide if I should hide or make a wide open grin. Last week I wanted just to disappear. My life was dust, but now it just may be a happy new. A happy new year.
Bond, James Bond.
And pussy galore in person.
Pussy, you came prepared.
I was a Boy Scout once, and a brownie, until some rat got scared.
Aha, money penny, my martini.
Will bad champagne do?
That shaking, not stirred.
Pussy the bolts.
Just say the word.
2 minutes left to execute our plan.
Where's everyone else?
Playing Spider-Man. Ironic, close up tight on the phone machine's red light. Once the boho boys are gone, the power mysteriously comes on.
Okay, that was Happy New Year from Rent. And before that, Seasons of Love from the musical Rent. And my special guest was Amanda Kind, and she is directing Rent, which opens at the Registry Theater tomorrow night for a 2-week run. And as I said, I'm going to make this into a podcast. And if you go to the Sound FM website, I'm going to ask you a trivia question. And if you answer it, you get 2 free tickets for next Wednesday's performance of Rent at the Registry Theater. So tickets are $29, and you can go to the KWMP website, or you can go to centerinthesquare.com, or give a call center in the square.